And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We hope you enjoyed the audio of our Facebook Live from when we were at Capital One Arena.
Shout outs to our boy Morgan.
Actually, a bigger shout out to Morgan because he was actually the one who paid for the tickets.
Sorted out the tickets. Yeah.
All around awesome dude. We will be with him again on November 9th for AEW Full Gear in Baltimore, Maryland.
I can't wait, dude.
Along as well as with our buddy Matt Carroll, who unfortunately we couldn't get into the stream
because he was standing in the merch line. We'll get to that
because we have some complaints.
We talked about it a bit in the break, and we're going to talk about NXT first because NXT is going to be a lot of like, this is what happened on NXT, this is how I feel about how things going forward.
Yep.
And then we're going to talk about AEW because we were actually at the event. And there's going to be a lot about how the atmosphere was and how things came across versus how they did on TV and all that sort of stuff. So,
yep. And also, for those of you, you know, who come to the website, stuff like that, there is a slideshow showing the pictures that I took from the event. So you can take a
look at that in the show notes.
Yep. So it's in our show notes.
I know Morgan has a thing as well. So.
Oh yeah, I like Morgan's.
If Morgan's willing to allow us, we might link his pictures too.
Yeah, I like his random photos of us just walking through the crowd at Capital One Arena. Why is he taking a picture of me walking through the crowd?
Document the crowd, probably.
Yeah. But going into NXT, it was actually announced beforehand that they were going to get a 15-minute run over after 10 o'clock. So, and that the first 30 minutes was commercial free for NXT,
which is what turned out to be the world title match.
Yes. World title match plus Velveteen Experience. It was a combo of the two. So in the opening matchup, you had Adam Cole defending his NXT championship against the super bro Matt Riddle, which would actually see Adam Cole use his injury help him retain the title against Matt Riddle. Overall, solid matchup. I enjoyed it. Also, one note, it was noted in the press release that all NXTs would air on the WWE Network at 8 p.m. on tape delay.
Yep.
It did not come on Thursday until 10 p.m. Eastern.
Eh.
So.
Meh.
Made me stay up late, you bastards. But overall, great match. I like the fact that Adam did heel stuff and used his injury in the cast to help him retain the title. I thought it was well done.
Yeah, as I mentioned in the previous segment, I have a very hard time judging NXT fairly. I have an even harder time judging it fairly when it's
Adam Cole, baby,
the Undisputed Era, because they are four of my favorites in wrestling in general. I'm so happy that Cole retained. I'm so happy that he had to cheat a little bit to do it, but not too much. And I'm glad that Matt Riddle got to look like money.
Which would then lead into our next thing, which was actually the Velveteen Experience. I don't know about you, but I didn't really feel this promo from Velveteen Dream.
Me either.
Like, and it's really hard to say that because we're both huge Velveteen Dream fans. And that felt a little weak. It really did.
Yeah.
Because it was just essentially him just saying, like, all he could have just done is, like, Roddy, I want a rematch. That's all he had to do. But it just felt really long and drawn out.
Well, one of the criticisms that had been levied at NXT over the last 2 weeks is there had been very little character work. It would just been match. So I feel they might have overcompensated the other way with this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's probably what it is, and that's why it didn't feel right to us.
Mm.
So, because we're you,
I wonder what that promo would have felt like to someone who didn't know.
Yeah,
the Velveteen Dream already. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think for a newer audience, they probably would have dug it because it's like they're seeing the full Velveteen experience, like with the women and the couch and the lights mm-hmm. and, you know, all the stuff that makes the Velveteen Dream. Like, I thought all that stuff was fine and dandy. It's just the promo itself to me. I didn't feel it. But maybe somebody who was watching for a first time, like you were saying, they felt that promo a lot better than us who've seen Velveteen Dream so many times.
Yeah.
So, then we had, I don't have the NXT card in front of me, but you had Shayna Baszler versus Candice LeRae for the women's title.
Do we need the NXT card?
I remember the three title matches.
There were a couple of other.
But there were. Oh, I know that Damian. You had Pete Dunne versus Danny Burch. I loved that match.
Well, hang on. Let me pull up. You keep talking. And let me pull up a card.
But yeah, so we had Shayna Baszler versus Candice LeRae for the women's title, and Shayna went over in that one against Candice. Solid match. I know you say that. That Shayna can just keep the belt for all of eternity.
I genuinely would be happy if
Shayna kept the belt for all of eternity. Shayna
would be kept the belt for all eternity because I love me some Shayna B.
What were your thoughts on the match overall?
I really enjoyed it. this is what I'm saying is like, so to give it a little bit of context, we went and watched AEW Wednesday night live.
Yep.
Then Thursday morning, I watched AEW back via TNT's website. Right.
Yeah.
Then I watched NXT UK. Then I watched NXT. So by the time I actually got to watch NXT, I'd watched a lot of wrestling.
Yeah.
I was very, very happy with the women's championship match. Was there anything that stood out to you? Like,
I mean, I enjoyed it bell to bell. I thought it was an enjoyable match. And also, and it became a theme throughout the night for all three title matches that did take place. They did the championship introductions where they dimmed the lights.
Yeah.
And they, via a spotlight, put the NXT logo on the mat.
Yeah, they did that for the Velveteen Dream.
And Roderick Strong.
Roderick match. Strong thing as well.
And I think that's a really nice touch for television.
Yeah.
And we'll get to why when we get to AEW. Because they did it drastically different compared to how NXT did it.
Yeah.
And I think the presentation was a lot better for that on NXT end. That's your spoiler alert right there. NXT did it better when it came to championship match introductions.
And results. Yes. Wait, what?
So you had Pete Dunne versus Danny Burch. I love that match.
That was a great match. Two old school English dudes just battering shit out of each other.
Like, it was so much fun to watch that match. Like, normally, like, when I watch wrestling, like, at home, I'm working on stuff. I'm working on the website, stuff like that. That was a match where I just went, no, hold on a second. Let me let me turn my position so I'm strictly facing the TV and not working on anything. Because that's how I love Pete Dunne and Danny Burch.
Yeah.
They're so fucking amazing. Yep. And I'm glad that both of them got to be on USA, have a match on USA Network, whereas like when NXT debuted on USA 3 weeks ago,
Pete Dunne was on the network.
Imperium was on the network, you know, all that stuff. So yeah, it's good to see Imperium. Them getting on. Well, fuck Walter. Yes, I agree. But what it did though was that it created a buzz, and it would have been better if that buzz was done on USA Network and not on WWE Network.
There was Io Shirai versus Mia Yim as well.
Yes, which Io Shirai won.
Mm-hmm.
Good. It was a good match. It was just, and what was outside of the tag team title match, what was the other match that we had?
Johnny Gargano against Shane Thorne. Jonathan Q Wrestling Gargano versus Shane Thorne.
Which we would see Gargano pick up the victory. This would also be the Johnny's USA debut for NXT.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking about NXT USA debuts, post Adam Cole, Matt Riddle.
Yeah.
Finn Balor comes out and says, I am NXT. Finn Balor is now officially on the NXT roster. And I found this out. I read this yesterday. But Finn Balor is going to be making main roster money while being a full-time member of NXT.
You know what I really want to happen?
What?
I wanted to get into drafted to Raw again on the draft.
Oh, Balor.
Yeah. I'm NXT. I'm Raw. No, I'm back in NXT. I'm Raw again. What the fuck is going on here? I feel like a yo-yo.
Well, technically, he went from NXT Raw to SmackDown back to NXT.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then be drafted back to Raw. You know? But yeah, no, I love the fact that Finn's back in NXT.
The cycle has begun again.
Yeah. I like the fact that he's back in NXT. I think he'll be utilized a lot better in NXT. But actually, he already has an official NXT t-shirt too.
Okay.
That came out yesterday, which was really cool. But yeah, so you had Balor come out. And then for the SmackDown, or not SmackDown, for the NXT Tag Team Championships, you had the Street Profits versus the Undisputed Era, Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish.
Yeah.
Which would see O'Reilly and Fish retain the tag team titles.
Absolutely cleanly.
Yes.
I might be lying.
Yes, you are, because Roderick Strong came out.
Absolutely clean.
And actually did a better job than what we'll talk about on AEW.
Yeah.
When it comes to coming out to help out.
Yeah.
But Roddy would come out. You would actually see, after the match was over, you'd see all the three members of Undisputed Era inside the ring, and Adam Cole on the stage holding up his title. He's getting ready to do his Adam Cole baby. But then all of a sudden, No One Will Survive played.
Yeah.
And out comes Tomasa Ciampa. But the greatest thing, like, I've watched this over like 10 times. The greatest thing about Ciampa's return is that he only looks at Adam Cole for like 30 seconds in the eyes.
The rest of the time he's looking at the title.
Because Ciampa comes out and his head is fixated on Goldie.
Yeah.
That right there just told the fucking story.
I'm concerned that... All right, that's probably not the right way of putting it.
Um,
I express it? You set up two major challengers for the same title in the same night.
Yeah, and right? That's a little problematic.
That's a little problematic to me.
Yeah.
However, that being said, I still think, I mean, it's good news, however you look at it, that Ciampa has been cleared, right? Like, you can't cut that any other way.
Yeah. Like, the fact that, like, one, we got the major surprise of Finn Balor coming back to NXT.
Yeah.
Being full-time NXT now. But then you also had the other surprise that to end the show. Like, yeah, to start the show, you got Finn. To end the show, you had the surprise of Ciampa return.
Yeah.
And I think when you look at it from that perspective, great way to start the show, great way to end the show.
Oh, I'm not saying that it was that.
But what I'm
saying is NXT has usually been very, 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 very good about how do I put it? About having clear delineation of who the number one contender is in every
division. Yeah.
Right. Whereas you very much set up two or three people two, maybe three, if you consider the fact that Matt Riddle might have a reason to dislike how he lost. Let's put it that way. Three people in line for the world title in NXT right now.
Yep, and then
that's a lot.
Yep, and then not only that, but when you look at the North American title right now, it's just Velveteen Dream.
Just Velveteen.
Yeah, and then for the tag team titles, there's actually nobody now because Street Profits just got the rematch.
Yep.
And then for the women's title, I mean, you have a couple things in place on the women's side right now. I mean, you have Candice, you have Mia Yim, and you have Io Shirai. And those are really like the three, but none of them are really at that number one contender spot.
Yeah.
So like in the women's division, there's a little bit more parity that they have in there. So... But yeah, it'll be cool to see how it shakes out in the next few weeks for that. But not only that, but also like with the fact that this was AEW or not AEW, keep saying AEW, the fact that this was NXT's first full two-hour show on USA, yeah. And it was the debut of AEW on TNT at the exact same time, they needed to pull out a couple punches. In that regards, yeah. Like with the Finn Balor and the Tommaso Ciampa. So in that regards, I can also understand why they did it. It was like a business move.
Yeah.
For ratings.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You could see, here's the thing, right? You could have brought them in and just not set them up as challengers for the world title.
Yeah. I mean, actually, it would have been cool to see, like, maybe Ciampa come out as, like, the challenger for the title because he lost the title due to forfeit, yeah. Due to the injury. But then maybe have Finn Balor come out during, like, another...
Velveteen Dream segment. Yeah. Or to talk to Roddy.
They couldn't have done it during the Dunn... Birch match, because after that was over, Damian Priest actually attacked Pete Dunne,
yeah.
to start the Priest Dunne feud. So I mean, there probably could have been a different way to do Balor's, but you know, it was still a surprise regardless, and it got people talking. But then that leads us to AEW,
mm-hmm.
AEW.
Yes.
So let's see here. So do we want to do the dark matches first, or do we want to save that for after?
Quickly, because they've announced AEW Dark. So these matches that we were told were live and exclusive just for us in the Capital One Arena were not.
You lied, Justin Roberts.
You lied to us, Justin Roberts.
Why would you do such a horrible thing?
I hate you and everything you stand for, Justin Roberts. That's not true. I don't hate you at all. You're actually very, very good at your job. Except for this one moment that we'll talk about later.
Yeah. So do we want to do the dark matches later? Or well, do we want to have them now?
We'll talk about dark matches a little bit later.
Okay.
Actually, let's do all the dark matches now.
Okay. So starting off with the first dark match that we got, yeah. It was actually before
might have been match of the night.
Yeah, for us it felt like match of the night. We had Darby Allin versus Shima. And Darby would actually win via pinfall after successfully, finally hitting the coffin drop.
Yeah.
Because hashtag life finds a way.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that match so much. It was such
It was a bit sloppy in places, mainly from Shima. Surprise, surprise. But yeah, just
yeah. And then after TV, we were given three dark matches.
I feel so, for the people in the first two dark matches off the TV, I feel so bad because the crowd was kind of spent after the finish and after the whole night. And then the final match of the night, which was a six-man tag, the crowd came alive again because it featured one of the people that we've been chanting for all night. So,
yeah. So,
or one team, should I say, that we've been chanting for all night.
Yeah, so after TV matches, the first match was THQ, also known as Angelico and Jack Evans.
And TH2.
THQ. I misheard you when we were at the event. But yet again, it was
THQ.
THQ, sorry.
The Hybrid 2, apparently, is what it stands for.
Yep. Yet again, we're in a very loud arena trying to hear each other.
Yeah.
So, and the Lucha Bros versus Private Party in the Best Friends with Orange Cassidy. Every time Lucha Bros did their stupid little chant, we yelled out, sucked.
Yep. It's pretty typical. We're not fans of the Zero Miedo thing.
Yeah. I'm happy that we were of the four losers that chanted suck every time they did that because it does suck.
It doesn't suck. And I didn't, and I wasn't saying sucks. I was like, gets boring. It's okay to do it like right at the beginning of the match because that's your gimmick, right? I'm not no problem with that. It's just
like when you do it like 20 times, like you did it All Out.
Yeah,
it's like really. I know Matt was doing the suck thing with me and same with Morgan. So TH2 and the Lucha Bros would win via pinfall,
meaning that Angelico and Jack Evans now have a win in AEW.
Yep. So does Darby Allin.
Yep.
Yep. One of the coolest things that I will bring up is the fact that there was a kid dressed up as Orange Cassidy.
Yep.
And he was front row, and somebody was able to snap a shot of Orange Cassidy sitting on the ring steps with the kid right there, and it was just the perfect shot of the two together.
Yeah. And then there's a shot of them giving each other a very lackadaisical fist bump.
Yeah, that's really cool. I actually like the fact that, like, during the match, if you pay attention to Orange Cassidy, he's just like sitting against the guardrail.
Yeah,
just
except for when he's got to do his spot.
Yeah, like it was really cool. I like that. It's different, you know.
Yeah.
Our second dark match after TV was Bea Priestley and Penelope Ford versus Britt Baker and Ali. Britt Baker and Ali would win via submission.
things to take away from this match.
Dee Priestley was awesome. Penelope Ford was awesome. Allie was good.
No. Things to take away from this match. Nobody cares about Britt Baker. They're trying to push her as the face of the division or whatever. People don't... Like, can you imagine, like, Charlotte or Becky coming out for that dark match? People would still at least cheer, right? This... There was barely any reaction for the faces here. There was some booing for the heels, but there was barely any reaction for the faces.
I think, honestly, Allie got more reaction than Britt.
Yeah. Britt looked like she was sucking on a lemon the whole fucking time she was there.
Yeah.
And she just botched after botch after botch. Or at least that's how it looked from where we were sitting.
Yeah.
It just looked bad. Sloppy, dirty.
It seemed like when the
execution.
It seemed like when Allie was in the ring, the execution was good between her and Penelope or B.
Yeah.
But with Britt, it was a little hard to watch, especially like she goes for a dropkick. Ooh, that didn't look that good. Yeah. So, but yeah, Britt and Allie would win via submission. And then in our main event dark match, we had the Jungle or Jurassic Express, Luchasaurus, Jungle Boy, and Marco Stunt versus SCU in a 6-man tag, which would see SCU win via pinfall. And also, interesting note, A, this was all tag team matches, but you had actually made an interesting comment during the Dee Priestley, Penelope Ford, Britt Baker, Allie match.
Yeah.
And that was the fact that there was a part of the match where both opponents were down.
Yep.
We hadn't seen that all night.
Yeah, they were very, very careful to not have periods where it was just two people on the floor. And it was one, two. They were very, very careful to avoid that. There had been a little bit of it, but it hadn't gone on for too long. The only time it was a protracted count was during that women's tag.
Which was very interesting to see.
Yes.
And then with the Jurassic Express versus SCU match, it was kind of like almost the same match that we got at All Out.
Yeah, it was pretty much the exact same match.
Yeah. And one of the things that you and I talked about is that, like, we can see Jungle Boy in a couple years, because he's still, like, in a way growing into his body and whatnot, mm-hmm. and he can still gain weight and muscle and stuff like that. We can see big things for Jungle Boy in the future.
I see big things for both members of A Boy and His Dinosaur.
Well, no. Luchasaurus, oh, he's sold. Like, I'm sold 100% on him. He's going to do big shit no matter what. It's the third member.
That's why I said A Boy and His Dinosaur and not Jurassic Express.
Yeah, but Marco Stuntman, unless AEW introduces like a light heavyweight title or something like that,
yeah,
I don't really see much out of Marco Stunt.
Then again, Riho beat Nyla Rose.
Spoiler alert. So, but yeah. But yeah. So we'll go into Dynamite.
Dynamite.
Which opened up nice little video package, which we actually saw the day before, which because it was released online. And they start off with the commentators of JR, Tony Schiavone, and Excalibur.
Wank! So, wait, what?
And then they did a little video package to try to sell the story of the first match.
Before we go any further.
Yeah.
I want to emphasize that while we... please don't bang your microphone like that.
I'm sorry, I didn't try to.
The our impressions are going to be based a lot on what we saw live, which means we won't have the context of commentary. We won't have the context of a lot of things. The other thing is the fact that I've been fairly outspoken about this. I don't like the setup for commentary for AEW. It feels like we've taken a step back 20 years to whenever the lot. Now, don't get me wrong, I understand the fact that there was some cultural significance that it was great to hear Jim Ross be the first voice in AEW because he was the last voice you heard on Nitro.
You mean Shivani?
No.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because they're doing the dual stream thing.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
I know exactly what I was saying.
Yep.
I know that they've got a lot of if anything at this point, having listened back to it, I'd switch JR for Golden Boy, or I'd switch Tony Schiavone for Golden Boy. So let's...
Yeah, let's get right into it.
No. Let me think about it. Golden Boy and JR have proved they can work together, right?
Yeah.
They've proven that they can do that. The difference being, I felt that Schiavone's voice... When I was watching Dynamite back, Schiavone stood out a bit more than JR did. All three of them were okay, and they didn't step on each other or do a whole lot of that. But
I definitely think Schiavone was. When I watched it back, I thought Schiavone was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
I definitely thought Schiavone was pretty good. I liked Excalibur. JR was kind of felt like a little odd man out sometimes to me.
Excalibur is excellent. He is excellent. I don't want to say quite clear, but it is clear that what AEW is trying to do is be an alternative to WWE, right?
Yep.
And I think you have to highlight that in every aspect of what you're doing. And I don't think the commentary booth as is doing a very... Let me rephrase that. I don't think that the identity of the booth is playing into that. Because you've got ex-WWE announcer Jim Ross, ex-WWE announcer Tony Schiavone. See what I'm saying? Like, it just feels a bit like...
You're trying to be the alternative, but you're using the other guy's people.
I just feel like if you are trying to do a... If you're trying to truly do something new... Do something new. Raw had the balls to just drop Vic Joseph and Dio Madden in at the deep end. Put your Golden Boy out there. You put him on pay-per-view, for crying out loud.
And did an amazing job.
Yeah.
But moving on, though, we did get Cody versus Sammy Guevara, which actually saw Cody win via the small package. After the match, Shivani was going to interview Cody, but then Guevara came in and interrupted and then went to shake Cody's hand, which then led to Jericho attacking Cody Rhodes. Mm-hmm. And interesting thing is that stuff that we thought was during commercial break ended up actually happening on television.
The other way around, the stuff we thought was happening on television was during a commercial break.
Yeah.
And
but was shown still. But was shown still because of the dual screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, what I'm saying is like the beatdown that Jericho did to Cody went on for a full like 5-6 minutes. Right.
Yeah.
And they actually went to commercial and came back from commercial and the beatdown was still happening. And then they showed a little bit of the beatdown that happened during the commercial break on replay. They didn't show the whole thing.
So I DVR'd it. So I watched what was actually live on television.
So did I. I watched it on their website, Mike.
But yeah, so it was, that was interesting. One thing that we should note.
Just for future reference, trying to correct me like I haven't rewatched the show won't work because I have.
But one thing that we should also note is that outside of Justin Roberts, we had a hard time sometimes hearing people on the microphone.
That would seem to be an in-arena issue.
Yeah.
Something that, having worked tech for like theater, is sometimes just fucking happens.
Yep. So like out. So like
you can't blame AEW.
Oh no. We're not blaming him.
No, I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah, it's just that outside of Justin Roberts doing the ring announcing, we did have difficulties at time hearing in the arena people in the microphone.
Also, didn't know how to talk into microphones.
Yes. That is also true. But one wrestler who did know how to talk into a microphone and we could hear clearly was MJF.
Oh, right, yeah.
Because MJF versus Brandon Cutler was your next matchup. And when MJF was making his entrance, he would actually get on the mic right away and cut a heavy promo on Brandon Cutler and everybody in the audience. And then we would actually see MJF defeat Brandon Cutler via submission with the Salt of the Earth.
I was very disappointed in this match.
Yeah.
I love me some MJF, but I was really hoping Brandon would get a better showing. This was also where my suspicions were confirmed. Because during Cody and Sammy went for a top rope springboard cutter and kind of wibbled it a little bit. And then during this match, Brandon went for something off the top rope and the top rope basically gave under him. And this is where we kind of
started talking about the ropes.
Talking about how loose the top rope seemed to be. Yeah. And it showed up again during the park segment, and it seemed to show up during the main event as well. So
it pretty much showed up in every match where the top ropes were used, except for with Riho because she's 98 pounds.
Yeah.
Riho. Next up, we actually had a random segment that which we didn't even expect, and that's Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes.
Yeah.
Because their film Jigsaw Bob Reboot comes out October 15th. I actually have my ticket for the Fathom event for that day for Germantown. I'm actually excited to see it. During the being interviewed by Chris Van Vliet, and Helico and Evans would come out and challenge.
How many I always thought it was Chris Van Vliet.
No, it's Vliet. It's Vliet. Apparently, right. Yeah, because he even said that it's Vliet. Come out and challenge them to a match, which then Jason Mewes actually I didn't catch this until I watched it back.
Yeah.
But Jason Mewes
isn't good enough to win a match.
Yeah, exactly. Which then Private Party would show up, which I'm not going to lie.
When we watched this in the arena, we thought this was happening during a commercial because we thought it was setting up a dark match for later.
Kind of set up a dark match for later.
No, it didn't, because fucking Private Party were barely involved in that match.
Yeah, that's also true. Which then the next thing we would see was an SCU segment with first it would be a video package of them outside the White House where Scorpio Sky does
a very, very, very good Barack Obama
yeah. Oh my God, it's amazing. But then they actually did an interview on top of the ramp with all three members of SCU where Scorpio Sky confirmed that for the tag team tournament, the two members representing SCU will be Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian. Because they're going to go with the experience of the four-time tag team champions.
And I think that is the right choice, personally.
Yeah. Lucha Bros would come out and a brawl would ensue as a result. Then next up, we had Hangman Adam Page versus Pac, which would see Pac win via submission with the Brutalizer.
Mm-hmm.
Which, interesting thing, and it's probably more about where we were sitting directly, but from our view, it looked like Page's foot was under the rope. During the submission, but when you watch it back on TV, his foot is not under the rope.
You can't really tell because of the angle they use. Yeah. But yeah.
But now Pac is 2-0 and Paige is now on a little 2-match losing streak.
Yep. Fun factoid. There was a note from Wrestling Observer Newsletter, old Uncle Dave.
Good old Uncle Dave.
That this was the segment that lost the most viewers.
Really?
Yes.
I mean,
because people really, the belief is that people aren't happy that Hangman's on a losing streak, basically. Not saying that that's the true reason. But that's the perception.
But him being on a losing streak can also be a good thing.
But I think, let me rephrase this. I think it's more that people are pretty much clued into the fact that Parker said, "I don't want to lose. So what's the point in watching the fucking match?"
Yeah.
Because that's the deal that he was on before, right? Like, so yeah, segment that lost most viewers was Pac versus Hangman.
All right. And then next up we had the AEW Women's Championship match, Nyla Rose versus Riho. With Dr. Britt Baker on commentary. Remember when on Raw we had Becky Lynch on commentary?
Yeah.
And before she ended up standing up on the table, she was doing a really good job.
Yeah.
Because she's good on the microphone. How about that? Britt Baker, I didn't even know she was even on commentary until the end of the match.
So bad.
No.
It was like she was...
She wasn't even there. Like, I don't think I heard much from her with the exception of at the end of the match when the title was won.
But like, even at the beginning, like when she's sitting down and she's like, yeah, I'm so happy to be here. And also, can we talk about a little bit of a dichotomy, going back to the AEW versus WWE thing? Jerry Lawler gets called an old white misogynist for being like, the claws are out, right?
Yeah.
No one calls JR for saying Tony Schiavone has drawn the short straw because he gets to sit next to the pretty lady. No one calls JR out for that.
Yeah. I think what JR said was probably worse than what King said. So, but you would have Britt Baker in commentary. Riho is the champion.
Yeah, right. So the first thing that you have to notice about you have to note about this match. They made a point to not announce that Nyla Rose was from Washington, D.C.
Yep. Because heel. But not only that, but the other thing is like we also talked about in regards to the presentation of NXT. They dim the lights. They put spotlights on the wrestlers, and they put the NXT logo on the mat. They did absolutely nothing special outside of two wrestlers come to the ring. Justin Roberts introduces them. That's it. Nothing. So it actually didn't even, like, even though they tried to give it that big fight feel with that special championship introduction, they definitely failed at that.
Yeah, they... We also now have a woman that in Nyla Rose that is 0-3 in singles competition. And I was being very quiet there because I was trying to put my thoughts together because she's way better than a 0-3 record, you know?
Yeah, I was like, actually, like, all four of us were disappointed that Nyla lost because we wanted Nyla to win.
I think Nyla needed to win.
Nyla needed it way more. And but it's the post-match stuff that now is the stuff that stands out, because Michael Nakazawa was trying to do an interview with Riho in Japanese, and when he says I'm going to do it in Japanese, that's when Nyla Rose attacked him, and she did the power bomb to him.
Yep.
And then she goes to try to take out Riho, but then Kenny Omega comes out to make the save.
Yep.
And
so let me put this into perspective. Nyla literally beat the crap out of Riho for like 15 minutes. And Riho beat her with a roll up again because she rolled her up before.
No, she didn't do the roll up. She did the double knees.
And then she did the thing,
no,
right?
No roll up. No, she tried doing the roll up. No, she did a roll up once, but Nyla kicked out at two. Then she hit three moves, the last one being the double knees, and then she went for the actual pin.
Okay.
And that's how she won.
So then post match, Nyla Rose is able to powerbomb a fresh member of the male roster who weighs more than 96 pounds, whose offense at every turn doesn't look like someone is tickling a iron safe with a feather, and then beat up the woman that just beat her to the point where Kenny Omega has to come out and make the save. Do that in the fucking match.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, and I've said this before, and I don't give a shit how many people shit on me for saying this, but it's a little too coincidental that Riho became the champion, because who's Kenny's tag team partner?
Well, here's the thing, right? I genuinely believe that all of their plans for the women's title were thrown into disarray when everything happened with Kylie Rae. Otherwise, you would not have ended up with someone who was 0-2 in the women's title match when wins and losses are supposed to matter.
Yeah.
I genuinely believe everything got thrown for a loop there.
Yeah, and the big sentiment, especially from us, because we do love Nyla Rose,
yep,
is we really hope that whatever that post-match stuff was leads to something big for Nyla.
Yeah. She deserves it.
She deserves it. And then we would have our main event match, the Elite, the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega versus Jericho and Ortiz and Santana.
This was, if you can believe it, the single most confusing match of the night.
And even on commentary, they're a little confused by it too.
So why don't you go through it and tell us what happens?
So we get to the spot where Jericho has Omega in the Waltz Jericho. Young Bucks come in, do the double super kick to Jericho, then do the double super kick to Ortiz and Santana. And then they're setting up for Omega to do, you know,
the Terminator dive.
Yeah, the Terminator dive. And before he can, now we should note that when this is happening, Omega is not the legal person in the ring. Yeah. It is actually one of the Young Bucks who is the legal person. But Moxley shows up and attacks Omega right in front of the referee. One would assume that this would then make the match null and void via disqualification, and the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega would win this match. Nope. But Moxley and Omega, they're fighting, and Moxley does his super dirty deeds, or whatever he's calling the move now, through a glass table. There's also, before that, Omega...
The paradigm shift.
Paradigm shift. He did that to Omega through a glass table that was in the VIP section. But before that, Omega did a little cleaning of Moxley with a mop before that, which was actually kind of funny watching Omega, like, mopping the floor before hitting...
Because everyone's been wanting the cleaner back, the Kenny Omega, the cleaner gimmick.
Yeah, so. But for the rest of the match, which should have been ended via DQ, it's a 3-on-2 handicap match with Jericho and Santana Ortiz's favor, which would then lead to them winning via pinfall after Jericho would hit the Judas effect. Chaos would then ensue after the match, which would see Cody Rhodes run out to try to make the save for the Young Bucks. Sammy Guevara run out on behalf of the heels. Dustin Rhodes come out on behalf of the Elite. And then Jack Hager come out through the crowd to attack, to help out Jericho, Santana Ortiz, and Sammy Guevara. And they would just end up taking out Cody, Dustin, and the Young Bucks. They would Hager would power bomb Dustin through the ring bell table, which that looked really ugly when they did that. That was how AEW Dynamite ended.
I quite like the idea of them forming like an anti-Elite faction. Quite like that. But there were a couple of very notable... There was one very notable thing about that whole segment.
Yeah.
And let me... Can you figure out what I'm referring to?
The fact that it didn't end in a DQ when it should have?
Nope. Who's in the Elite?
Young Bucks, Omega, Cody, Hangman.
And Hangman didn't come out.
Yep. And so, also was
bear that in mind.
Also, isn't SCU technically in the Elite?
I don't know if they're in the Elite, but they are all part of being the Elite. It's weird how you set it up, but
yeah.
No Hangman, which makes me interested.
Also, interesting note I read yesterday. So apparently AEW, for all these events, have an anti-WWE poster policy. So if they see any...
No, not an anti-WWE poster, an anti-anti-WWE poster.
Anti-WWE. Yeah. Which was interesting because we saw the Vince Fears ratings poster.
Here's the thing is, I don't think the security people understood what the fuck that meant, which is why they let it through.
Yeah, but then it got confiscated after it was shown.
Absolutely got confiscated.
Yeah. So, and it's, I actually, you got to give AEW credit to where they're like, we're not going to let the audience bring posters to bash WWE.
Yeah.
Which I like that. Now, if they themselves can stop taking pot shots at the WWE.
Well, I quite like that they're, like, here's the thing, is it's their job to try and be better than the other guy.
Yeah.
So, here's the thing, right, is Jericho put out a tweet talking about how they started this war and now they're embarrassed because we got higher ratings, right? And I'm like, are you sure about that one, Chris? Because everyone that tuned in to watch your show tuned in to watch their show the very next day. Because people knew where they could find their show on demand. They had no fucking clue where they could find yours.
Yeah, because the ratings came out for both shows. Yep. AEW got 1.401 million.
Which is the highest broadcast debut on TNT in history.
Yeah. And then NXT on USA had 893,000.
Yep.
Which, like, and
I will be very. Now, here's the thing, right? 893,000 is still pretty cool.
Yeah.
However, there was absolutely zero mention of how you could watch Dynamite, quote unquote, on demand before Dynamite, right?
Yeah.
But everyone knows NXT is showing up on the network 24 hours later.
Yep.
Anyone who thinks WWE was upset because AEW won that ratings war are fucking stupid.
Well, not only that, but the other thing is, and I do agree with this point as well, NXT is established.
Yeah.
And AEW was doing
brand
spanking new show. So a lot. So obviously, when you look at it from that perspective, everyone's going to want to watch the new kid in school rather than the kid that we've seen all the time.
Yep.
And that's also why you see this ratings discrepancy. Although, what did you think about the WWE tweet congratulating AEW on their premiere?
Well, for them. Like, I don't know.
I thought it was good.
Like, here's the thing. Here's the thing, right? I'm squarely in the camp of this isn't, why does this have to be a war? Like, AEW keep calling this a revolution. It's not a fucking revolution. Why can't we just coexist and all get along and enjoy all of the wrestling? Why do we have to be AEW or WWE or Ring of Honor or whatever? Why can't we just be like wrestling?
Yep. So I mean, it was. I enjoyed both shows. I actually liked the presentation on TNT when I got to watch it back. I thought the presentation was very clean. Yes. I mean, outside of the stuff that we saw live with the botches, which, I mean, there's only so much you can do on television to try to cover that shit up. I think overall that was a good presentation for a good debut on television. Yeah. Yeah. And not only that, but also, like, you know, we were talking about the commentary for Raw with Dio Madden, Vic Joseph, and Jerry the King Lawler, where they need the gel. That's something that we'll probably also be seeing in the weeks to come with JR, Tony Schiavone, and Excalibur. Mm-hmm. You know, seeing them become more of a cohesive unit, because before, JR and Excalibur were just working one-off shows doing, you know, like the pay-per-view stuff. Now they have a weekly thing to really work together going into pay-per-views and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I like the fact that there wasn't a lot of backstage stuff, but I did actually like, and actually, I watch only one thing really from What Culture, and that is Simon Miller's Ups and Downs.
Yep.
And one thing that he actually brought up, and I actually do agree with him on this, it was actually kind of a cool thing that JR did when they're looking in the locker rooms. Now, when we were there live, we didn't hear like what the commentary. Yeah. But watching it on TV, it was actually kind of cool because JR is like, oh, here's a take a look in the locker room of the Elite. And then here's a locker room of Jericho, Santana, and Ortiz. And let's take a listen in. And then you would hear them, like, Jericho saying something. And then, like, JR will pull back. It's like, oh, well, maybe it's not something we should really be listening to. And it was a kind of a cool little thing that's different. You know, that kind of, like, look in the locker room. Hey, let's kind of, like, spy a little bit. It was kind of cool. But then I also agree with the one thing that Simon Miller also did for Ups and Downs. He introduced a new version of Down, which is called the Dinosaur Down. Which is every time Luchasaurus does not appear on AEW Dynamite.
Well, so, he'll be happy to watch AEW Dark then.
Yes. But yeah, I thought that was really cool that that he did that. And I don't think it's really cool that some jackass is decided to pull out a buzzsaw out in my backyard.
Can't really hear it. Don't worry about it.
Okay. But yeah, so overall, I thought, you know, I agree with what Morgan said. Just smacked my desk. I agree with what Morgan said for live experience. B+.
Yeah.
B+, definitely.
There was a lot of chaos, a lot of post-match stuff, a lot of attacks, a lot of... They seem very fond of the pull-apart brawl. There seemed to be a lot of that going on.
Well, I think also, like, kind of like with last night with SmackDown, the Braun Strowman thing, it's something that gets people talking. And but unfortunately, one of the things that they did do is that AEW went to the well a little too much on that.
Yeah, I think that's the main thing.
Yeah.
They've done it, like, once or twice, it'd have been fine, but it was, like, 3 or 4 times across the night.
Yeah.
They were, like, pull-apart brawls.
And it was also weird, and we saw it on TV, too. Was like one of the grips, like the people that hold the cables
wasn't
for the
a grip.
Wasn't a grip.
If he's identified in the, I think it's in the very first match. That was the ringside doctor.
The guy with the really long hair that was pushing Jericho away?
Yeah.
That still looked really weird.
It looked weird. It looked very weird.
It looked weird live and it looked weird on TV.
Yeah.
Like, why would the doctor be pushing him away? Doctors never push people away. Like, where are your officials? Where are your agents? Where are your, you know, security people that are supposed to be pulling this stuff up, like pulling these people apart? Why is a doctor telling Jericho to go away?
Yeah.
So that's not a good look on AEW either.
Yeah.
So that gets a dinosaur down. But
a couple of other things, since we're kind of wrapping this up, merch was very weird.
Yeah, I wasn't very happy with merch.
Yeah,
apparently Nyla, there was a Nyla Rose t-shirt.
It sold out, apparently.
But it sold out within like 10 minutes.
Yep.
So like, if you know that Nyla is the local person, why didn't you double up or triple up on that stock?
Well, that's not even the weird bit. The weird bit is there wasn't a program.
Yeah, there was no program.
There was no
event t-shirt.
The closest thing to an event t-shirt you got was the SCU shirt. This is the worst town we've ever been in with the DC stuff.
Yeah, and like I bought the SCU shirt.
Yeah.
And nothing against SCU. I didn't want their shirt. I wanted an event shirt. I wanted a shirt that commemorated that this was the first time ever that AEW Dynamite aired on TNT and just it was live
that,
from Capitol.
Anything that would talk about first ever, that kind of thing, history making, that kind of thing. But it was just all
wrestler shirts. It was just all, pro wrestling tees.
It was like pro wrestling tees showed up. There was nothing event special or Dynamite. Even if it's just been an AEW Dynamite shirt.
Yeah.
Wasn't like, one of those.
Like we know for a fact that when we go to Full Gear, they'll have Full Gear t-shirts because they always do something like that for pay-per-views. It's a common thing. So, like, we know we're going to get that. But, like, shit. Like, when we went to NXT in DC at the Anthem, we got a program. Like, they had a program available. When I went to NXT in Bel Air, Maryland for the very first ever show, they did a match card poster, you know, with all the matches that were going to be on the card that night. Like, and that was a commemorative item for the debut of the first ever NXT show in the state of Maryland.
Yeah.
And it's like I have that hanging on my wall. I got the NXT program right over here behind me. And it's like, those are really great commemorative items. I have my SummerSlam 2005
Cyber Sunday t-shirt. I wanted nothing more than to buy the program for tonight, for
Wednesday night.
On Wednesday, to buy that program and then take that with me to StarCast before Full Gear and get everyone to sign it.
Yeah. And it's definitely 100% a missed opportunity by AEW there to create something that was really special, to make it even more special by having commemorative stuff for that event. Yeah. Outside of the chair. Yeah, outside of the commemorative chair.
Which, like, 100 people got.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, so, but I will say this. The AEW hoodie is really nice.
Eh, it would be better if it was embroidered.
Yeah, it would, yeah, no, definitely better if it was embroidered, but it's still a nice looking hoodie.
Yeah.
So.
so yeah, overall, we're interested to see where it goes. I'm very confused on some of the booking decisions. The matches were good. I'm looking forward to next week, basically.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not doing predictions for Hell in a Cell because...
Oh, before we get on to Hell in a Cell, a couple of pieces of breaking news.
And we are running up on time, so make go.
Yeah, yeah. A couple of pieces of breaking news. Number one, this has come out while we've been recording. Dates for the Mae Young Classic 3 have been announced. November 2nd and Sunday, November 3rd at Full Sail Live. So we are seeing a third Mae Young Classic this year.
Very nice.
And the other big piece of news that has been kind of blown up while we've been on the air, and I know you've got to go soon, but I do want to bring this up because I feel it's worth discussing.
Shoot.
Is how at the end of SmackDown, they basically just abruptly ended it and brought the lights up, meaning that the advertised appearances of Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Undertaker, and Sting, which we had all thought happened dark, didn't happen, leaving the crowd very unhappy, apparently, to chance of "We want our money back" in AEW at times. So,
yeah.
Those two pieces of things I wanted to bring up.
And then again, we're not doing predictions for Hell in a Cell because, quite frankly, there's not much of a card to predict.
Literally four matches.
Yeah. So when we come back, we'll recap Hell in a Cell. But we're going to be really more draft heavy because we want to talk about the Raw and SmackDown rosters.
Yeah.
And obviously follow up on the following two episodes of AEW Dynamite and see how the show is going.
How it's evolving.
Yes. So with that, social media, good sir.
You can find me at Bob T. Goldfish on the Twitters. You can find the channel at 321 Podcast on the Twitters, or at Three Topics, Two Guys, One Podcast on Facebook.
And then, of course, everything Awesome Mania, you can go to txhthockey.com/awesomemania, facebook.com/x75productions, and you can follow me on Twitter at thelindenbaum75.
This show has, of course, usually is recorded live on twitch.tv/321_TV.
Yep. And Ben, I think you have a thing to say, good sir.
In the words of the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, be excellent to each other. And partly on non-gender-specific honorifics.
And until next time, we will see you ringside.